I want to ask a little bit about the use of hormone therapy and management of the ER-positive patient. And one thing that's come up in terms of specifically the ER-positive, node-negative patients, particularly relevant to the use of chemotherapy, has been the Oncotype DX assay. Can you explain what that is and what your thoughts are about its clinical use?
Sure. The Oncotype DX assay is, I think, a very interesting assay. It's part of our new sort of the genomics approach to cancer diagnosis and therapy. And that is that instead of asking questions of one biomarker at a time, ER or HER2, which can be very useful but sometimes isn't enough, the people who developed this test went to several hundred genes, about 250 genes, and they said, what are the genes that are most likely to be important in relapse in a ER-positive breast cancer in spite of tamoxifen? So they're really getting prognosis in a particular group of patients. They honed down using several different data sets that weren't actually all ER-positive and node-negative, but even so, they honed down on 16 genes that were particularly important in whether a patient relapsed or not. And then they went to a very large data set from an NSABP study and said, can we use the results of this gene test? It's not just one gene, not just two genes, but all 16 genes. And they created a mathematical formula to sort of weight them by how important they thought they would be in terms of prognosis that would give you a score. So this weighted average of these 16 genes gives a score that they called the recurrence score. When they applied that result, now, so they took the primary tumor, so the original cancer, from a bunch of ER-positive, node-negative breast cancers who received tamoxifen, so all the patients had those characteristics, and they already knew whether they had relapsed or not. And they looked at what the mathematical test from the recurrence score, that score, how that compared to the likelihood of relapse in spite of tamoxifen in this group of patients. And what they found was if you had a low recurrence score, your likelihood of relapsing in spite of tamoxifen was less than 10%. So most of those patients were going to be fine. If you had a high recurrence score, about a third of them relapsed. So that score measured in the tumor at the time of diagnosis actually was very useful in predicting whether the patient relapsed or not. Now, the obvious question then is, what do you do with this information? You know, is that helpful? Does that just tell you a natural history, or can you intervene? And specifically, can you intervene with chemotherapy? And they've done some studies subsequent to that that I think answer that question quite nicely. They have looked to see whether the recurrence score helps predict the benefit of chemotherapy. And in fact, in a series of studies that they've done with the NSABP, specifically Soon Paik, who's a pathologist with the NSABP, they've done a lovely series of experiments that, to summarize them, suggest the following. The recurrence score is partly a prognostic score. It does tell you natural history. It also tells you about relative insensitivity to tamoxifen, meaning that the benefit of tamoxifen seems to be more in patients with the lower recurrence score and less in patients with the higher recurrence score. So part of their outcome in that original study may have been that they weren't that sensitive to tamoxifen. But can you supersede that by giving chemotherapy to these patients? And what they've also found is that the benefit of chemotherapy on top of tamoxifen seems to be greater in the higher recurrence score. So this is sort of a nice result, because the higher recurrence score seemed to be less likely to benefit from tamoxifen and more likely to benefit from chemotherapy. I think that's actually a very, very useful test. It is the kind of thing that I think can help a patient and a physician if the other clinical variables leave them on the fence about treatment decision making. Now, there is a study going on right now that will help identify when in the middle group chemotherapy might be beneficial, and that's a randomized study where patients with low recurrence scores all get endocrine therapy and are followed. Patients with high recurrence scores get chemotherapy and tamoxifen and are followed. And those in sort of the middle group, which is a pretty broad group and it's designed to be almost half of the patients, are going to get randomized to just endocrine therapy alone or endocrine therapy with chemotherapy added. So they'll really get it, what we call level one evidence for whether or not you can use this for chemotherapy decision making in the middle group. I think for the higher group and the lower group, it's a little bit easier decision making already.
What are the clinical situations where you yourself use the Oncotype DX assay?
I don't ever send it in patients who aren't ER positive and node negative. And within that group, You know, I really use it after I've met the patient and after I have a sense of whether I think this test will help with decision making. I never send it in HER2 positive breast cancers. And I don't send it in, you know, if I have a patient who says to me, there's no circumstance in which I wouldn't want to be aggressive with my cancer within medical reason, then I already know they're going to want to take chemotherapy even for a 1% potential benefit. So there's no point in the test in that group. Conversely, some of my patients, particularly older patients, will say, you know what, unless you have a test that will tell me that I'm definitely going to benefit from chemotherapy, I'm not interested in it. And in that group, I also don't see any potential benefit for the test. It's not the kind of test that says yes or no, you're going to benefit. It's the kind of test that helps you, it adds information to what we already have in terms of risk stratification. So in a sense, it's sort of like adjuvant online. It just gives you more information about what their potential risk might be.